Ready to go? Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in for tonight's program. I got an email from Sam right before the program. Mike, you realize when you begin video streaming tonight, you will be providing the right-wingers, the ones that don't regularly watch Bible or bestiality videos, 3 hours of masturbatory bliss. Well, we aim to please. Yeah, we're video streaming, web streaming. What do you call it? Web streaming. So you can come to the cave with us every night now if you like. Tonight begins Jewish Passover. So to our Jewish listeners, if you're not here right now, I understand you're at the Seder dinner. We'll see you a little bit later, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the things that were all over the air today about the bust up of the Christian militia types up in Ohio. Oddly, that was, if you're familiar with that part of northwestern Ohio, that's right near where I grew up, Sandusky, Ohio. I'm not the least bit surprised. There's some crazy bastards out there for real. Anyway, conservative values now apparently include strippers and bondage. This just cracks me up. Republican National Committee spent thousands of dollars last month at a sex-themed Hollywood club. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That features topless dancers and bondage outfits. Of course, now they say they didn't know the nature of the event or who authorized the money. Michael Steele is just spending money like a drunken sailor. No offense to drunks or sailors, but he spent $17,000last month alone for private planes, $13,000 for car services, $18,000 to redecorate his office. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, the is this New York Daily News? Yeah, the Daily News. Records show that the Republican National Committee dropped $1,946 at a West Hollywood, California strip club last month. But a spokesperson insists that RNC Chairman Michael Steele was not among the ooglers. Well, you know what I say to that. Michael Steele is, he's not telling the truth. records filed with the Federal Election Commission show the RNC picked up a tab at Voyeur West Hollywood, a high-end strip club. In review last October, LA Times said the bar's, quote, dark leather-heavy interior is reminiscent of the masked orgy scene in Eyes Wide Shut. That was, I think, Stanley Kubrick's last film with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. That was a pretty interesting movie. If you like nude Nicole Kidman. The club features a heavy net suspended above the lounge area where topless performers dressed in little more than masks and bikini bottoms writhe about the heads of club goers. The paper, LA Times, said, quote, even more provocative scenes are played out in an enclosed glass booth area adjacent to the club's dance floor. Oh, man. I mean, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think you teabaggers should understand where your money's going. I mean, just keep doing it. You know, just keep doing it. Bob Alexander wrote about this. Ho-hum, another bunch of family values guys up to dildos or didos. My grandmother used to accuse me of being up to didos. I never knew what it meant till today. Needed to look it up for the dildo wordplay. Dido. It's a noun. It means a mischievous trick, a prank, or an antic. A dido. I didn't know that. Thanks, Bob. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not. Stephen Pizzo was writing for BuzzFlash and talking about, you know, all this rage and all this anger, which we're going to get to a little bit later tonight. Stephen wrote, we had 8 years of Bush and Cheney, and now you get mad? You didn't get mad when the Supreme Court stopped a legal recount and appointed a president? You didn't get mad when Cheney allowed energy company officials to dictate energy policy? You didn't get mad when a covert CIA operative got outed? You didn't get mad when the Patriot Act got passed? You didn't get mad when we illegally invaded a country that posed no threat to us? You didn't get mad when we spent $1 trillion on that illegal war? You didn't get mad when over $10 billion in cash disappeared in Iraq? You didn't get mad when you found out we were torturing people? You didn't get mad when the government was illegally wiretapping Americans? You didn't get mad when they didn't catch bin Laden? You didn't get mad when you saw the horrible conditions at Walter Reed Hospital? You didn't get mad when they let a major U.S. city drown? You didn't get mad when they gave us a $1.6 trillion tax break to the rich? You didn't get mad when, using reconciliation, $1 trillion of our tax money was redirected to insurance companies for Medicare Advantage, which costs more than 20% more than the same services that Medicare provides. You didn't get mad when the deficit hit the $1 trillion mark and our debt hit the $13 trillion mark. No. But you did get mad when the government decided the people of America deserve the right to see a doctor if they're sick. Illegal wars, lies, corruption, torture, stealing your tax dollars to make the rich richer are all okay with you. But helping other Americans? Oh, hell no. Yeah, really. I hate Republicans, and I hate the teabaggers worse. I mean, what a bunch of jerkwads. But like I said on David Schuster's program this morning, I hope Sarah Palin just keeps shooting off her mouth. You know, I really do. Every time she talks, another 1,000 people say to hell with the Republicans. Christian militia group target of a series of weekend raids the FBI conducted in Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. You know what I liked about the story? One of the militias up there, the Southeast Michigan Volunteer Militia, a spokesman for that organization, a guy named Michael Lackamar, said, excuse me, one of his team leaders got a frantic phone call Saturday evening from members of Huttery, a Christian militia group. They said their property in Southeast Michigan was being raided by BATF agents, according to Michael Lackamar. Lackamar said, quote, they said they were under attack by the ATF and wanted a place to hide. And my team leader said, no thanks. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's called loyalty among the ranks of the militia groups. Did you see the video? I'm sure you've seen the video all day of these clowns jumping around, and there's fog machines going off, and they're bang, bang, boom, 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 shooting at trees and blades of grass and stuff, you know. And this is not a threat to the United States, right? You know, the real threat to the United States is people like me. People like me who go on MSNBC and, or no, people like me who say that if Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and the rest of these clowns in their incitement of the brain dead followers, if there is another Murrah Federal Building incident or one similar to it, these guys ought to commit suicide. That would be the honorable thing to do. Limbaugh could eat enough Viagra until he gets all rigid and can't move, can't breathe. Beck can just shoot himself on the air. Hannity can, what can Hannity do? Yeah, that's true. He can grease himself up and go to the bunny ranch. All these guys, yeah, they all should do the honorable thing and just kill themselves. You're damn right. And the qualifier is if they incite people to do another Murrah Federal Building. And yeah, I said it. And yeah, I stand by it. And I'll continue to say it. And you right-wingers that don't like it, I don't know what to tell you except, you know, we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more because everybody would have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Nobody would ever get shot because everybody would have a gun.
Makes sense.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? We go out and shoot things. We go out and shoot things. We go.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Resistance Radio. It's 21 past the hour. This Michael Lackamar, who's a spokesman for the Southeast Michigan Volunteer Militia, is also turning out to be a spokesman, apparently, for the Huttery family, or whatever the hell they're called. Huttery. On its website, Huttery quotes several Bible passages, and it says, quote, "We believe that one day, as prophecy says, there will be an Antichrist. Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves using the sword and stay alive using equipment." Yeah, it says right in the Bible. And Jesus spoke, use equipment. The group didn't return an email sent by the Associated Press, and phone numbers for the group's leadership were not immediately known. Blah, 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 blah. Law enforcement swarmed a it goes on and on. And yeah, when's law enforcement going to swarm Fox News Channel and arrest half the people there, including that bastard Glenn Beck, who is doing everything he can to incite these people to do this? These are Beck followers. You know what Beck is. I've said before a million times, Beck is what Beck is. And they ought to go into the feds ought to go in and arrest Beck, arrest O'Reilly, arrest Hannity, and charge them with, federal crime of gross, felonious stupidity. Right? Put their asses in jail. Cokie Roberts, yeah, she's still around, even though she's not on this week on ABC, but Steve and Cokie Roberts have a blog site, and they recently took part in a lunchtime panel sponsored by a local radio station. I don't know if that's in New York or where. Anyway, a beefy young man in the audience grabbed the microphone and challenged the speakers in a sneering and confrontational tone to name one good thing about President Obama's health care proposal. Cokie Roberts' husband, Steve, answered, "People without insurance flood hospital emergency rooms and push up medical bills for everyone. So it would be in the national interest to expand insurance and hold down costs." And the big beefy guy in the audience retorted, "The national interest? That sounds like fascism." I got a tickle in my throat. So Cokie and Steve on their website write, "We have been in this business a long time. We welcome tough questions and certainly don't believe we have all the answers. But fascism? Fascism?" They go on, "We don't know what the beefy guy reads or to whom he listens, but we would bet he's a disciple of Glenn Beck." On a recent show, Beck went after Christian churches that preach social justice. He told his followers, "I beg you, look for the word social justice and economic justice on your church website. If you find it, run as fast as you can. Social justice and economic justice, they're code words. You know what they're code words for? Communism, socialism, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Cokie Roberts at the very end, Cokie and Steve write, audiences don't have to take Fox News seriously if one of its top names has become a circus clown. Actually, Beck is worse than a clown. He's more like a terrorist who believes he has discovered the one true faith and condemns everyone else as a heretic. And that makes him something else as well, a traitor to the American values he professes so loudly to defend. Damn, a traitor. So no less a... Oh, that's right. She's a liberal. Glenn Beck is a traitor. He's worse than a clown. He's a terrorist. That's one of the few times I've ever completely agreed with Cokie Roberts. Oh, God. She and her husband now will be attacked by the flying monkey right. Oh, man. What else we got? Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff here. I'm just trying to get used to having a camera in here. The Nazi Pope is really getting in up to his eyeballs. You know, one of the reasons a lot of these priests have not been charged with the felonies that they committed against children, you know, rape, child molestation, is because the Catholic Church has a statute of limitations where it concerns these crimes. And as Maureen Dowd wrote over the weekend, since when does sin have a statute of limitations? Yeah, since when? I hate the Catholic Church. Well, I hate all religion, but especially the Catholic Church. All right, we have a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Population keeps on bleeding. Nation bleeding. Still on.
Right. From the left, it's more Mike Malloy.
The hour. A colorofchange.org sent out a press release about it's time to hold the Republican Party accountable. That's impossible. You can't hold the Republican Party accountable for anything. These people go to leather bondage strip clubs. Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know. But in their press release, they say, you probably heard about Tea Party members shouting the N-word at black congressmen during a protest in D.C. last week. And one of the protesters spat on Emmanuel Cleaver, while another called openly gay Representative Artie Frank a F-word as the laughing crowd imitated his lisp. This is the thing that is... so horrifying to me. These right-wing bastards are really, really, really asking for trouble. They're begging for it. And the thing about it, if you look at the crowd of teabaggers, you'll see that almost every one of them is white, middle-aged, on some kind of federal, getting some kind of federal paycheck, either Social Security or Medicare or a retirement fund guaranteed by the government. Interestingly, this group of eight militia, religious right, crazy freaks that were busted today, they decided to take a public defender to defend them, paid for with government tax money. Ah, you rat bastards. Anyway, colorofchange.org says Saturday was just the most recent example of the intolerance and hate coming from right-wing extremists this past year. At times, it's been instigated by Republican leaders. When not, it's usually condoned and seen as part of a strategy to score politically. Anyway, it's completely unacceptable and has to stop. You know, these teabaggers at rallies over the past year, they carried signs that said Obama's plan equal white slavery. The American taxpayers are the Jews for Obama's ovens. Guns tomorrow. It's unbelievable what they're doing. And what tickles the hell out of me is the fact that, you know, when I talk about these racist bastards and how the honorable thing for all of them to do would just to kill themselves. I mean, my God. Yeah, if they cause another one of these Murrah Federal Building incidents, you know. And for that, all these right wing from the Washington Times, Jesus Christ, I think we were even in the Kansas City Star, all over the place. Lib talker advocates or death threats to right wingers. Which, of course, I didn't say. What I said is if they were honorable and they instigate another attack in the next couple of weeks or whenever, then the honorable thing would for them to do would be to go kill themselves. All the damage that they're doing. I mean, my God. In Japan, when a businessman screws up badly, I'm surprised that the head of Toyota hasn't killed himself yet. You know, they do ritual harakiri, right? And what I said was, when that does happen, if it happens, and I hope it doesn't, but Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and this freak Hugh Hewitt and the rest of these thugs are constantly pushing their vulnerable brain dead audience to go do violence. We've been talking about this. And my response is, was, and shall be, if they push these people to do these things, the honorable thing would be for them to kill themselves as just an act of attrition. You know, a lot of these guys are Catholic anyway, so why not? I think Hannity's Catholic, O'Reilly's Catholic. It would be a great act of attrition to kill yourself. It really would. And that gets a response from the right wing. Oh, Malloy is advocating death to right wingers. Only by their own hand. That's all. If you know, if it comes to that, wouldn't that be honorable? I think it would be honorable. The program director of KMBZ Radio in Kansas City says that radio station has no choice but to air commercials with race-based anti-Semitic claims from a writing candidate for the U.S. Senate from Missouri. See, this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. The ads, which began on the station last week, are from Glenn Miller, a Springfield, Missouri man who once ran the White Patriot Party. Oh, yeah, Glenn Miller. Ugh. He's been described by the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, as a white supremacist and former paramilitary organizers. One of the ads aired during the Darla J. talk show urges whites to, quote, take their country back, end quote, and disparages Jews and non-whites. The Missouri Secretary of State's office said Miller had filed required papers to qualify as a writing candidate in the 2010 Senate race. Under FCC rules and federal law, a, quote, legally qualified candidate, end quote, must be given reasonable, uncensored access to broadcast airtime if he or she can pay the cost. So the KMBZ program director, Neil Larimore, says, quote, the company is required by federal law to run these spots and to do so without any edits. Our hands are tied, end quote. In Kansas City, the Jewish Community Relations Bureau declined to comment on the ads because, as a nonprofit organization, it's prohibited from opposing or endorsing candidates. Unbelievable. You see how it's stacked in favor of the right-wingers? I mean, you understand, you know this already. These rat bastards come out and say anything they want to say. They can use the public airwaves to disparage any group they want to disparage, and they hide under the guise of FCC rules and regs or freedom of speech or what have you. And yet, when somebody on the moderately liberal left, like moi, says something like, I said, these right-wing websites just go ballistic. Well, go ballistic. You know, I couldn't care less. I just find the whole damn thing kind of amusing, frankly. What else we got? I was really intrigued with what Maureen Dowd. Maureen Dowd is Catholic, columnist for the New York Times. And she says, we need a nope, N-O-P-E, a nope. That's a nun who's pope. The Catholic Church can never recover as long as its holy shepherd is seen as the black sheep in the ever-darkening sex abuse scandal. Now we learn the sickening news that Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, nicknamed God's Rottweiler when he was the Church's enforcer on matters of faith and sin, ignored repeated warnings and looked away in the case of Reverend Lawrence C. Murphy, a Wisconsin priest who molested as many as 200 deaf boys. And it goes on, and she has in here this line, the church has been tone deaf and dumb on the scandal for so long that it's shocking but not surprising to learn that a group of deaf former students spent 30 years trying to get church leaders to pay attention. Lori Goldstein, writing a New York Times, wrote, victims give similar accounts of Father Murphy's pulling down their pants, touching them in his office, his car, his mother's country house, on class excursions, fundraising trips, and then their dormitory beds at night. Arthur Baczynski said he was first molested when he went to Father Murphy for confession when he was 12 in 1960. And then Maureen Dowd writes, it was only when the sanctity of the confessional was breached that an archbishop in Wisconsin, who later had to resign when it turned out he used church money to pay off his male lover, archbishop in Wisconsin wrote to Cardinal Ratzinger at the Vatican to request that Father Murphy be defrocked. The cardinal did not answer. Ratzinger didn't answer, who's now the pope. The archbishop wrote to a different Vatican official, but Father Murphy appealed to Ratzinger for leniency and got it, partly because of the church's statute of limitations. Since when does sin have a statute of limitations? I would hope that the institutional Catholic Church implodes. It has become, like I said, the organizing principle is pedophilia. It has become a nest of child abusers, pedophiles, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. It hasn't stopped. Even when the Boston Globe started the investigation that led, when was that, about 7, 8, 10 years ago, that led to thousands of lawsuits against these criminals. Even that didn't stop them. They just continue because they feel like they're protected by the mighty hand of God or something. It's just sick. It's sick. And here we are at the most sanctified day in the Christian faith, and that is the resurrection. Without a resurrection, you see, there is no Christianity. It just doesn't exist. It's nothing. So here are all these Catholic priests and cardinals and bishops all the way up to the Nazi Pope. During the Easter season, I know it's and what do they have?
nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Anyway, back to Maureen Dowd's column in Sunday's paper, New York Times. She writes, Pope Benedict has continued the church's ban on female priests and is adamant against priests having wives. He's started two investigations, however, of American nuns to check on their, quote, quality of life, unquote, code for seeing if they've grown too independent. And as a cardinal, he wrote a Vatican document urging women to be submissive partners and not take on adversarial roles toward men. You know, it's been the nuns, the Catholic nuns, that have pulled the priest's cojones out of the fire so many times. So many times the nuns have saved these. What was that movie we saw that about the priest and the principal? Yeah, Meryl Streep was in it. Huh? Yeah. Doubt. That was a good example. Dowd says, if the church could throw open its stained glass windows and let in some air, invite women to be priests, nuns to be more emancipated, and priests to marry, if it could banish criminal priests and end the sordid culture of men protecting men who attack children, it might survive. It could be an encouraging sign of humility and repentance, a surrender of arrogance, both moving and meaningful. Cardinal Ratzinger, the Nazi Pope, devoted his Vatican career to rooting out any hint of what he considered deviance. The problem is, he was obsessed with enforcing doctrinal orthodoxy and somehow missed the graver danger to the most vulnerable members of his flock. Benedict should go home to Bavaria, and the cardinals should send the white smoke up the chimney proclaiming Habemus Mama. Instead of we have the Pope, we have the mother. Hi. But what I was saying right before the break, you know, here it is in to the Christians, so-called Holy Week, and I don't know how they can get involved in all this with the Pope gave a speech, I think, in St. Peter's Square the other day. It might have been today. And the cardinal, the guy in New York, is blaming media reports. He sounds like a damn Republican, doesn't he? Media reports trying to defend this Nazi Pope. How much longer can this so-called church survive? I mean, it's been around. Sure, it's been around for 1,800 years, 1,900 years. But isn't it time? Maybe Karl Ratzinger is the Antichrist. The Pope. Maybe he is the Antichrist. I mean, a lot of Protestants believe that. A lot of crazy Protestants. Maybe this group in Michigan that got busted today, maybe they believe it, that the Antichrist is really the Pope. Ever feel like you're living in somebody else's acid trip? I mean, I do. Yeah, I think I just turned the stream off. Yeah, I did. How do we get it back on? Oh, well, just be patient. We'll get it back on in a second. I don't know. I just get very frustrated. I get very frustrated by all this stuff. You know, when you have the right-wingers who have taken over a certain element of the political system, they've destroyed religion, which is not a bad thing in and of itself. But the way they're destroying it is just, you know, all the people who believe this religious nonsense, especially Catholicism, who are just, you got to feel sorry for them. They're watching the entire structure of their church being destroyed by a bunch of pedophiles. I mean, I don't understand
or I can't get in my mind how people who claim to be Catholic, how they can deal with this. Did they fall back on their faith? Did they say, well, Mike, it's not, this is not God, this is not Jesus, these are priests that are doing this, and therefore, they can be forgiven. That's what Christianity is about, forgiveness. Christianity is also about, I think, taking responsibility. It's about repentance. It's about paying for your sins. If these rat bastards were subject to Old Testament justice, they would be stoned. And I don't mean, from smoking reefer, you know what I mean? All right, we have a break coming up here fairly quickly, so we're going to I'm going to go take a break during the break and get a spoonful of honey so I can talk. I'm sorry for all the weird sounding tonight, but with a cough and this camera going in the studio, which is starting to really drive me crazy. I don't know if we're going to continue this or not. I guess so, but just trying to get with the rhythm right now. So we have a break coming. And we'll come back and try to do radio instead of all this nonsense, all right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
There were 1,000.
It's about 7 past the hour. This is a Malloy show. Not to belabor this Pope story, but now a new round of allegations by victims of pedophile priests in Italy, right under the nose of the church. It says, after the latest allegations that Pope Benedict took no action in the United States when he was head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, that's the Vatican's enforcer, the church is now, quote, terrified as more victims stand up to be counted in Italy, according to an Italian anti-abuse group. The spokesman for that group said, quote, with the scandals erupting abroad, we will see a huge growth in victims groups in Italy in coming weeks. I don't know. Obviously, there's no real point in talking about this except for the fact that it's absolutely criminal. Absolutely criminal. And who's going to do anything about it? You know, back in the day, if you even made the accusation, they would excommunicate you. And this just about freaked me out. The insurance companies are, this health insurance reform bill, as weak as it is, just signed into law. Now the insurance companies are already arguing that, at least for now, they don't have to provide one of the benefits that Obama calls the centerpiece of the new law, and that's coverage for certain children with pre-existing conditions. The authors of the law that was signed the other day say they meant to ban all forms of discrimination against children with pre-existing conditions like asthma, diabetes, birth defects, orthopedic problems, leukemia, cystic fibrosis, and sickle cell disease. The goal was to provide these kids with access to insurance and to a full range of benefits once they were included in the health plan. And to insurance companies now, they're going over this like insurance companies do with a fine-tooth comb, trying to figure out some way to beat the law. A lawyer whose clients include insurance companies said, quote, "The fine print differs from the larger political message. If a company sells insurance, it will have to cover pre-existing conditions for children covered by the policy, but it does not have to sell to somebody with a pre-existing condition. And the insurer could increase premiums to cover the additional cost." I mean, this is madness. Now, in the first place, is the immoral attitude of these filthy insurance companies. And second, I thought Michelle Bachmann and all these right-wingers and Sarah Palin, these teabag freaks and these anti-American, kid-hating, America-hating thugs keep saying that this is socialized medicine. If it were socialized medicine, wouldn't it be enforced by the socialist police or something? Bastards. Just absolute bastards. Oh, man. So, families with sick children now are going to be told that the insurance companies have figured out a way to weasel out of the law. And usually that's what happens. If you have the money and the power and your corporate America, you can figure out a way to get the hell out of everything, right? You want to do some phone calls? Let's open up the lines. The phone number here is 877-996-2556. Oh, and then this cracks me up. Jane Hampshire, writing today, Senator Max Baucus thanks the former vice president of WellPoint, insurance, is that insurance company? For help in writing the health care bill. This is what Baucus said. "Mr. President, there are a flood of emotions going through all of us today as we pass this reconciliation bill, which improve upon the bill the president signed 2 days ago, this is a couple of days ago. I'd like to focus only on one part, a very important part, but only one part, and that is to thank the people who have worked so hard, especially in this body, to help accomplish this result." And he goes on and on and on. Then he says, "We all want to thank so many people. Once we start mentioning a couple of three names, we run the danger of offending people whose names are not mentioned." He says, "I want to single out one person, and that one person is sitting next to me. Her name is Liz Fowler. Liz Fowler is my chief health counsel. Liz Fowler has put my health care team together. Liz Fowler worked for me for many years, left for the private sector, and then came back when she realized she could be there at the creation of health care reform. She put together the white paper last November, the 87-page document, which became the basis, the foundation, the blueprint from which almost all health care measures and all bills on both sides of the aisle came. She's an amazing person. She's a lawyer. She's a PhD. She's just so decent. Yada, 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 yada." The only problem, if it is a problem, of course, is that she is the former head of WellPoint. She was a vice president at WellPoint, a health insurance. Oh, God. Oh, but it's socialism. Yeah, socialism, don't you know? All right, I want to do some phone calls here because I'm losing my voice. I mean, just absolutely I'm losing my voice, so let's do that. Steve is in Austin, Texas, listening on XM. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Hi. Good to hear you from you. Yeah, take calls when your voice is failing.
Man, yeah, got to.
Definitely. Rad singer. Maybe he is the Antichrist. He's the Protestant Pope. He is a Pope from a predominantly Protestant country, is he not? Germany?
Well, yeah, and very few. You know, I read something the other day, only about, 20% of Germans really consider themselves to be religious.
Right. Yeah, well, they're learning, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wish we could as well. Yeah, and in relation to the religion and the right-wing militias, these guys are kind of spooky, but, you know, it turns out there are a lot of family and probably in-laws, and it also kind of, you know, the folks in Arizona and the folks in Georgia and Texas and Montana and Idaho, et cetera, kind of say, whew, God, they kind of took the heat off of us for a while.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there. It's good for the good guys, but keep stroking, man. There's a lot of these guys out there.
Oh, man, I guess so. All right, thanks, yeah. Steve. Appreciate you checking in.
You bet.
All right, take care. Kathy is in Whiteland, Indiana. Hey, Kathy.
Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. It's Jeff. Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff and Whiteland. Yeah, Mike, I just think that it's kind of funny now we've gone full circle because Sarah Palin now pals around with terrorists.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't she?
You know, she's a mass actually. She's their leader. I think they call her Sarah Ben Palin.
Sarah Ben Palin. Yeah.
And I'm glad we got a little bit of health care because my brain tumor grows every time I hear these people.
Your brain tumor?
My brain. Yeah. So, oh well. So,
well, you talk about somebody that pals around. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you checking in. You talk about somebody. Yeah, wasn't that a big deal in during the presidential election? Oh my God, Barack Obama used to know William Ayers, and they hung out together, which they never did. But this, you know, this teabag movement is just chock-a-block now with right wingers, with terrorists, with people who want to blow up America. You know, this Christian militia group, isn't that a nice term? This Christian militia group, what they were planning on doing is killing a police officer or two or three. And when there was a big funeral where there'd be hundreds of police officers come together, they were going to set off IEDs. This is insane. This is madness. These people ought to be put in jail and kept there forever.
Too short to listen to right-wing radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
How many kids 21 past the hour. The number here is 877-996-2556 if you'd like to join in. Kathy is in Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Say, real quick, I just wanted to point out that all the shenanigans that the insurance companies are looking at to, you know, keep from having to go along with this law, the healthcare law, the states threatening to sue, and the myriad of other tactics that are going on, I just can't help but think that at some point the Democrats are just going to say, okay, kids, we tried playing it your way, now we're going single payer.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would be wonderful, and I just can't see where they wouldn't consider it after all of this backlash.
Well, I the quick answer to me is that the Democrats don't have the spine, the courage to do that. Why not have done that to begin with? I mean, no matter what they do, they're going to be accused of, turning to socialism for 1/6 or 1/17 or whatever the hell it is of the economy. No matter what they do, they're going to be accused of being socialists. I agree with you. If they're going to be accused of doing it, why not just go ahead and do single payer? But, my experience with Democratic office holders is that they don't have a lot of spine where it concerns standing up to that political onslaught. All Republicans are cowards at the very bottom. Democrats are not, but it seems like Democrats have this political cowardice. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, have you considered that maybe one of the reasons why it took so long to get to where we are is because they needed to calculate out just how we can flush these horrible Republicans out and give them the platform to make themselves look as horrible to the general population as they possibly could. You know, I've thought about that a lot.
Right.
I wanted immediate action as soon as Brock took office, you know, I have to admit. But the longer it went on, I thought, well, maybe there's a calculation here. You know, maybe they're just giving the Republicans enough rope to hang themselves. And
well, that's a good theory. I'd like to believe that's true. But I just don't see the Democratic Party leadership being calculating. I wish that were true. I think that's a great idea, Kathy. But do you think that Democrats in the House and the Senate are that, I don't mean this in a negative way, but that Machiavellian where they can think in a real intricate, multi-leveled way like that? Let's do this, and the Republicans will scream about that, and then the American public will react this way, and all the way back down to the point where then it becomes easy to get single payer. I wish you were right. I just don't. I don't see the Democrats being that smart. Do you?
Well, no, but I didn't see the Republicans being quite as smart.
Well, I think Republicans are just calculating, rat bastards. It's just I don't know. It just gets very confusing, for a normal person to try to figure out. And I hope that there's some truth to what you're saying, though. That's a good guess on your part. Maybe, just maybe, the calculation.
It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the calculation is that everybody gets so frustrated by all this nonsense that single payer will become very quickly the law of the land. I don't know. I don't see that happening. But
well,
I hope
the idea of it gives me, hope for some warm and fuzzies and maybe not so many nightmares when I lay my head down at night to go to sleep.
Yeah, I hear that. All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Mike. Take care of your voice.
Okay. All right. More honey. Or not, honey in a spoon. Tom is in Bullhead City, Arizona. Hey, Tom. Tom? Where's Tom? All right, I'll put Tom on hold. We'll come back to you. Bobby is in Nashville. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. This is Bobby Wilkes in Nashville, Tennessee, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm an ex-Marine. I've had a son just recently come home from Afghanistan. And sometimes, Mike, man, you just seem like that you just don't get what is actually going on, man. It's like you want to be an activist for for the guys that are fighting in the war and stuff, but that dumb guy, it's like, we're all in this stuff together, and the poor people are fighting wars and all the rich guys want wars,
Well, what part do you think I don't get? I understand that. I'm against this. If somebody were to attack the country, If somebody were to invade the United States, like we invade everybody else whenever we damn want to, you know, I'm completely in favor of defending the country, but that's not what our soldiers are doing. Bobby, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold because we got to do a break. And we'll come back and pick this up on the other side of the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. We're talking with Bobby in Nashville, Tennessee, former Marine. All right, you say, I don't understand. What part do I not understand, Bobby?
Oh, sometimes, Mike, it's like you just get on a roll, and it's like you're hating the guys that's doing the job, man.
Hating what guys?
The military guys and, the people that do the job and stuff, and...
No, you never hear me say that. I consider people who are in the military, going back to Vietnam.
I'm a Vietnam veteran, man.
Right, wait a second. People in the military going back to Vietnam were victims. We had no business being in Vietnam. We lost 58,000
Americans. Yeah,
hold on a second. Don't interrupt me. I didn't interrupt you. We lost 58,000 dead Americans. Half a million wounded, and God knows how many came back with PTSD in Vietnam. And, you know, 6 years ago, then Secretary of State Colin Powell, who was a colonel during that war, was dancing his ass off on the stage in Hanoi. Now, you tell me.
Yes, man.
Wait a second. Wait a minute. I'm not finished. You tell me if all those names on that wall in Washington, D.C., did those guys die to stop what? We do business with Vietnam now. What did they die for?
They died because they were drafted.
That's right. That's my point exactly. They were victims. They died because they were victims. They were lied to by Nixon and Johnson and Ford. Just like our people have been, your son was lied to by George W. Bush, and
yes, sir, I agree.
All right, that's my point. What are you talking about? That I get? Look, American soldiers, Marines, people who are involved in combat now, in foreign countries, were lied to get them there. They're not fighting for freedom. They're fighting for corporate America, Bobby, and you know that.
Well, I know exactly what you're saying, but we didn't have a choice, Mike.
Wait a second. You start out by saying I don't know, or you can't figure out why I don't get it. Are you, Bobby? I get it perfectly. What are you talking about? Now you're saying that you didn't have a choice.
You get so upset about something.
You're damn right. You're damn right. I get upset. 60,000. No, you get 60,000 American service members dead for nothing. 3 million Vietnamese dead for nothing. 1 million Iraqis dead for nothing. Almost 5,000 American soldiers in Iraq dead for nothing. How many are going to have to die in Afghanistan for nothing? No, don't, Bobby. I'm sorry, man. I respect you and everything you have to say, but you cannot talk to me about disrespecting or not getting what these soldiers go off to fight these wars about. And if you believe they're out there fighting for the flag and mom and apple pie and Jesus and all this other stuff, you have been absolutely brainwashed. Just like Mitt Romney. Remember Mitt Romney's dad? George Romney, governor of Michigan, wanted to run for president back in '68, remember? And he made a trip to Vietnam. a Republican, conservative, George Romney, and he came back and he said he'd been brainwashed. Remember? And American media got on him like white on rice. And he never had a chance because he was another one of those guys who came back and told the truth. No, don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, you just agreed. You know, of course those soldiers got drafted. Who do you think? Let me ask you something. I realize you're not on the phone now, but who, supposing the U.S. military, I don't care what branch it is, supposing the U.S. military said, look, we need some volunteers to go to foreign countries where we're going to steal their resources. We want to go over there and kill them. They haven't done anything to us, but we want to go invade them simply because we can. And we need some volunteers. Now, granted, you get a few of these militia type, well, no, not the militia types. They're a bunch of damn cowards. But you know, you'd get some high school bullies and some punks from the street, would feel that they had to prove themselves, so they had to go kill some people. But the average American at that point, the average American who would fight to defend the country if we were invaded, would say, hell no. What are you talking about? Why should I go die for corporate America? What kind of sense is that? At every single one of those wars, you can start with every war the United States has been involved in since the end of World War II, including Korea. It was a scam, a myth, a hoax, and it was corporate America that engineered every single one of those wars, probably World War II and World War I also. Come on. Come on, Bobby. Come on, man. Get in the game. You know what's going on. Let's try Tom in Bullhead City again. Are you there now? All right, I give up on Tom. That's the second time I've gone there. Sorry, Tom. Arnold is in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Arnold.
Good evening, Mike. How you doing today?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I was telling Kathy, I can lay down and bet he's not going to miss this story about picnic shoulder little boy, Mike Steele.
what did you call him?
I told you Thomas, his nickname in my book was Picnic Shoulder.
Oh, that's
and,
right, Picnic
Shoulder. So his protege, Mike Steele,
right,
is stepping in the world, man. He's going voyeur on us.
How about this guy out there in L.A. going to one of these bondage, same-sex strip club, whatever the hell it was, cracks me up.
It cracks me up when I heard that, man. I said, these people, he's stepping, fetching on everything. Now he's going to bustle here. And he's spending the boss's money. So you check that out. Did you see how much money he blew in this thing? In hotels and escort service and stuff.
The boss's money?
Yeah, his master's money, shall we say. I was going to say master. He ain't no different than his boy, Clarence Thomas.
I'm glad you called, Arnold, because you gave me permission, and a couple of my other listeners gave me permission that occasionally I could use the term Uncle Tom in reference to people like Clarence Thomas, right?
That's right.
Okay. So
his head will shine. Either one will fit him real good.
So I called Clarence Thomas, what did I call him? You said I could use House Negro.
Exactly.
And I called him that, and these people at the Daily Beast, which is an online magazine, they got some guy there who does the column, I guess, and he wound up on CNN last week, and they use me as an example of hate speech. Because I said something about Clarence Thomas was known to be. It was a call. I know. That's what I'm telling Arnold. It was a call with you that I referred to him as a house Negro. So, they picked up on this and was on CNN in the morning, and I'm laying there in bed. I'm not even awake. And the TV is on. All of a sudden, here comes the John Roberts and that cute little girl that's with him. And in the morning, you know, doing the CNN thing, and they got this guy on. Who looks like he just got out of high school from the Daily Beast, and they're talking about me, and I'm sitting there going, what in the hell is going on? Talking about me being a racist. And I wanted to, you know, I'm screaming at the TV, I didn't say it. Arnold in Durham said I could say it. Shut your mouth.
That's right. Hey, listen, man, if they could poll every Afro-American in this country, and say, oh, why do you resent people like Clarence Thomas, Mike Steele, these Republicans?
Yeah.
Well, don't you want to emulate them and be a Republican? I said this a long time ago. I think I told it to you.
Yeah.
I would rather slide down a 50-foot razor blade into a cool tub of alcohol than ever become a Republican.
Yeah, right.
Plain and simple.
I hear that. All right, Arnold. I got to go. Thanks.
Okay, bud. We'll see you later.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, that was amazing. All of a sudden, I don't quite get this. I've got 52 listeners and 1,647 viewers, apparently. That's what it says right there, right on that, where's my hand? There it is, right on that screen. And all of a sudden, what am I the only liberal, so-called, who is calling these people what they are, and I've got to be used as an example? I mean, that's fine with me. I couldn't care less. It just cracks me up that, these teabag freaks and these right-wing freaks and these Republicans and these psychopaths like Sarah Palin and the rest of these jerks can run around the country with their little conferences out in Searchlight, Nevada, running around the desert like a bunch of damn fools. And they're going to use me as an example of hate speech coming from the left? Oh, man. I'll tell you. If you're watching online, I'll tell you what I think of those people. Where's my little card? Here it is. What does that say? Huh? You see that? Now, see, if you were watching online or watching the video, you'd see what that says. I can't say it on the air. Here's something else. So that, too. Good Lord. Yeah, and to the guy in Tennessee that called, Barrett in Atlanta reminds that it was a two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Smedley Butler, who referred to war what it is, a racket, a damn racket. All those dead people, all these dead American soldiers died, since the end of World War II, died so that corporate America could make a profit. Does that piss me off? It makes me furious. We'll be right back.
Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. Tim is in Detroit listening on XM. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. I've noticed a pattern. I'm sure others have noticed this, too. During the Clinton administration, there was a lot of far, far right-wing activity, with these self-styled militia idiots. You had the people down at Waco.
Right.
You had the Montana Freedmen and just a whole battery of these just crazed lunatics.
Right.
Completely wrong-headed about everything. And then during the Bush administration, which was unelected, in my opinion, twice in a row.
Right.
When we knew for a fact that the Bush administration had sponsored and conducted torture, they, of course, had illegal prisoners in Guantanamo and Bagram. They invaded Iraq illegally, and arguably they invaded Afghanistan illegally, and they did all kinds of things. They stole money out of the banks and on and on, right?
Right.
They were remarkably quiet. No cries of freedom from these guys.
Why do you suppose it worked out that way, Tim?
Well, it's a complex question. I mean, I guess for me to simplify it, I would say that these people really care nothing about freedom on their right. I mean, it's all about basically, they're sort of a front, they being the militia types, for basically a corporatist kind of an amalgamation of power both here and worldwide. And what happens is when the Democratic Party, which is also corporate, but its basis is obviously liberal,
right.
When the Democratic Party is an imparting of the Republican Party, they're sort of unleashed, a sort of effectively American brown shirts to intimidate you know, the average person, so you can have Republican rule again, and you can have a total corporate rulership of this country. That's my theory, I guess.
Well, I think I think you're right. I think I don't think there's any doubt that the whole scam here is about it's about control. It's in power. It's not about freedom. It's not about justice. It's not about truth. That's why these teabaggers just piss me off so furiously, because they're not the least bit concerned with truth or justice or honor or fair play or decency. They're sneaks, they're liars, they're cowards, and they are slaves. They're slaves to corporate America.
Well, we see now, too, we saw it in the 90s that probably, I don't know if it's 100%, but it might as well be a large percentage of these militia people. I mean, they're white. I mean, so there's a big racist component with these people, too. I mean, they hate people of color. They hate immigrants. They hate people, you know, who are gay. They hate the disabled.
Sure.
And this pattern occurs always, I notice, in democratic countries. I mean, you have these sort of fascist third of the country. That's what Peter Werbe calls them, the fascist third.
Right.
And they always come out during relatively liberal periods in a democracy. I mean, you have the examples of Weimar, where constantly these far-right fascists were disrupting meetings. They were beating up artists. They were beating up intellectuals. And they, even during that time, the Weimar Republic was relatively soft on the fascist groups, but would almost... would completely often jail, you know, artists and intellectuals for being disruptive. It was very much of a double standard. You see that, too, with America. You see the media being very much more hard-line toward liberals,
uh-huh,
almost excluding them from the dialogue. But they put on Sarah Palin all day long on the media on Saturday.
Right, right.
She's a complete fascist. I mean, there's no other way to call her. She cares nothing about democracy. She cares nothing about rule. All she cares about is whipping up this base of primarily whites to harass and intimidate the population generally.
Right, right.
Yeah, and they ought to be exposed for the fascists they are. I wish the media would do more of that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I media is corporate media. It used to be the liberal media. Remember, doesn't that seem like a quaint term, huh? The liberal media.
Which it never existed.
No, it's, at one time, I think most people who, the writers, the journalists, were liberals because they got an education. They were versed in the humanities. They were versed in liberal arts. But that's all changed now.
I guess about the coverage of the stories, like even Walter Cronkite, he was very much sort of sympathetic to the Vietnam War.
Well, until he went there, and then
right,
he came back and told the American people that the war was lost. I don't know what the answer is. Corporate media in this country, they love somebody like Sarah Palin. They'll put her on. I couldn't believe it. When was it, Saturday or Sunday? I'm flipping through the channels, and there's CNN carrying this convocation of freaks out in Searchlight, Nevada. They're carrying it live. I thought, well, why? This is not a news event.
You know
what are they doing?
Just to the sort of a sexual kind of component, too, with her, what she was wearing. I mean, I know that's sort of lowbrow stuff.
Well, no, it's true. It's true.
Some leather bustier. What was that thing? I mean, there's just like Eva Braun character about her.
That
would be Eva Braun.
Her biggest followers are middle class, on the dole, white Republicans, men and women, who are of a certain age. Probably most of them are over 55 or 60. And the men are just sexually aroused by her. The women want to be her. They understand that their husbands are aroused by her. So that's why they go along. They try to be like Sarah, when really all they have to do, just take these old men home and give them a Viagra or a Cialis, whatever the hell that stuff is called. They don't have to go look at Sarah Palin. But you're right. There is some kind of a weird sexual component, I think. And I said this, I forget when I said it. I think it was on MSNBC this morning, that most of these white males who lust after Sarah Palin are doing so because she reminds them of when they were in the sixth grade. And they had a female teacher that somehow aroused that just waking up boy sexuality. And they never got that teacher out of their mind. All of a sudden, here comes Sarah Palin with her school marm glasses and her school marm hairdo and her not school marm body, and it's just freaking them out. They're just going crazy. They want her.
Somebody has a study on fascism and pornography.
Say it again.
somebody had to do a study in fascism and pornography.
I'm sure it's I'm sure it's been done. All right, okay, thanks, Tim. I appreciate you checking in, man.
Yep.
All right, take care. We have a break here. We'll be back directly. What did you put up here? Did you put a? Can people hear it? People hear now? No. She took apart a headphone and put one of the earpieces up on the damn. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. If you're just joining us, I'm sorry for all the confusion tonight. We're just trying to figure out how to do the all the stuff that has to be done here. This is, 25-cent radio program, and we're trying to do the web streaming right, video streaming. And, it's working out a little bit, although Kathy had to jump in here and do something with this. That was weird. Anyway, it'll be much better tomorrow night, or, we just won't do it. So if you are watching, what can I tell you? I want to do prayer too here before we get too involved with the phone calls or equipment going down again. Jesus God, this is a joke, isn't it? Huh? This is, you don't have to scream. Shrieking into my headphones. No, I'm not touching anything, man. I'm afraid to move my chair back. From Bruce, our economic affairs correspondent, aka Prairie 2, the numbers you don't want to hear, today's list only. All right, here's what he writes. After well over a year in office, President Obama finally did 15 recess appointments out of 77 that have been waiting for a Senate vote. But wait! This is much worse than it appears. Another 217 nominees haven't cleared the respective Senate committees. The 77 have all been approved by the senators that have oversight. This mushrooms out, as these people would all hire staff and deputies in lesser positions, would also hire people, and so on and so on and so on. The Republicans do know how to make a really big mess. Oh, that's right. Government doesn't work. The security services aren't having positions filled either, in case you were wondering why they couldn't connect the dots on the underwear bomber. The only reason we have anything running, or anybody running the CDC and health services, is because of the H1N1 scare. The recess appointments were heavy in the Department of Justice, the Commerce Department, and trade representatives. The trade war is heating up, you know. Four more banks were closed Friday at a cost of $320 million, bringing the total to 41 so far this year. And you know what? I think 30 of them were here in Georgia. The number of banks the Republicans have driven into the ground is often poo-pooed. It's not a big deal. In reality, these are often large chains of banks, so any comparison to previous Republican banking disasters is hard to make, since the size of the banks used to be restricted to keep this from happening again and again. Remember the London Interbank Offered Rate, the LIBOR, L-I-B-O-R? This measures what banks are charging one another for money, and this trickles down into all corporate money exchanges. The last time we heard from this troll under the bridge was when everything froze in September 2008. Normally, credit costs are measured by the difference between Treasury bonds and the LIBOR rate, Treasury bonds being considered the safe money and LIBOR not quite safe. Last week, it flipped. with the LIBOR dropping below treasuries, if this continues, it would indicate that the market no longer considers the debt of the United States of America to be the safe money. Nobody has come up with a good reason why this happened. It could be the big banks are just flexing their muscle to show Obama who's the boss. It could be China throwing their weight around. It could be that the economy is too weak to create enough demand for U.S. debt and interest rates will skyrocket. One theory is that they are all just stupid. I like that one. Prairie 2. I know. It's hard to follow Prairie 2 because he is very smart with matters of economics, and you and I are not that bright about this stuff, right? Damn. All right. Back to your phone calls. Bob is in Brunswick, Georgia. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show.
Sure.
I just think that you get more volunteers than you think on these wars and stuff. Because the corporate media, President Obama and all the power, what they sell is self-love. You know, it's like America is the greatest place and we're a democracy and, you know, we eat hamburgers and you should eat them and, you know, we'll show the world how to live, you know, and everybody buys into that, you know. It's like,
yeah. Well, and the ones that don't buy into it, we'll force them at the point of a bayonet.
Yeah, or they get conformed. Well, like the serious left. Where's Ralph Nader? Where's Amy Goodman? I mean, you know what? I mean, these people they got on serious left is like, it's almost laughable, you know.
What, they're not left enough?
Well, I mean, they're such corporatists, and you know, Obama can do no wrong. The health care bill is great, you know.
Well, I don't think you ever listen to Lynn Samuels in the afternoon. I don't think she's that way. Lynn will give him old Billy hell.
Well, I've never heard Lynn. I got XM radio. Is she on XM?
I know she's on Sirius. She's probably on XM.
Yeah, I just never seen.
Well, look for Lynn Samuels. She's hell on wheels, man. She'll just she makes Ralph Nader look like a conservative.
Really? Well, maybe she's on the computer.
You know, Sirius and XM, if you look on XM down their list of all their channels, what do they call it, Kathy? The liberal broadcast station, America Left? No, that's on Sirius. I'm talking about XM. You'll find it, Bob. Just find Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Samuels. Lynn Samuels.
Okay, well. America's the greatest, you know, it's like just America.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I completely agree. Bob, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Brunswick, Georgia. That's a great place, except 9 months out of the year. It's down on the coast, not far from St. Simon's Island. It's where mosquitoes were invented. Dave is in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's happening, Mike? That guy that just called you, try Alex Bennett. Alex Bennett comes on after you. That guy sticks the crap out of Barack Obama on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going to try to talk to you here. I've got an echo coming back. I'll do the best I can.
Yeah,
I'm
you're breaking up pretty bad.
I'm glad we were watching at the same time when Sarah Palin and John McCain were on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sarah Palin sounds unusually high, squealy, and randomly warbly as usual. Her voice got so high at some point only dogs could hear it, you know? I wasn't sure if I was listening to Sarah Palin speaking or Yoko Ono singing. So if you can get a hold of that audio clip, go ahead and play it because it is out of this world. Conservative-minded people, and I'm talking about their psychology, not their politics,
right.
They relate to that. You'll make more, you'll drop her favorability points more by pointing that out than pointing out that she's vacuous. I think they prefer that she's vacuous. So I'm going to let you go because I probably might drop this call. Later, man.
All right. Take care, Dave. I think he was breaking up. Yeah, I believe that was it. When I watched the Sarah Palin ride to John McCain's rescue, I've never seen anything like that. Sarah Palin is the poster girl for the teabag group. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But so she gets on stage for McCain in Arizona, and she says, "We're all teabaggers." Or she calls them tea partiers or whatever. We're all tea. And McCain and his wife, Cindy McCain, are standing back there. And I thought they were both going to choke to death on their own bile because McCain is not a teabagger. He's trying to get that vote against this freakish, child molesting looking. I mean, doesn't J.D. Hayworth look like he looks like a priest without the backward collar? Who's just waiting in the bushes to molest children. That's what J.D. Hayworth looks like, a child molester. But he's a teabagger. And so Palin is out there talking about teabaggers, and McCain is just trying his damnedest to keep that lump on his face from jumping all over the place. But it was really something to see. I mean, I want it to continue. I want Sarah Palin out there promoting as many Republicans as she possibly can. You go, girl.
This country's up in smoke. Oh, what a joke.
Oh, it's Beauty County Pete. Oh, what will it mean for me? Oh, it's Beauty County Pete. Oh, what will it mean for me?
Ticket to the bridge. Just because I can see the moon doesn't make me an astronaut. You loon, you're fine.
Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Yeah, J.D. Hayworth, this guy running against McCain. I don't. Somebody sent me an email here. Lynn Samuels is not on XM. Okay. J.D. Hayworth. He's a former or current radio talk show. I guess he's a former radio talk show host. But he's got that look. I it's hard to describe. The first thing that comes to mind is child molester. And the reason is every time, and this is so sad. I mean, it's excruciatingly sad. Every time a child disappears and is murdered by one of these sick bastards, and I have no mercy for child molesters. You know, I'm against the death penalty, but I guess I'm not completely against the death penalty because someone who murders a child, a little girl or a little boy, just cut him into little pieces and feed him to the sharks. I mean, I couldn't care less. They are outside the human family. But when you see their arrest picture, these people that are charged with these horrific crimes, they all seem to have the same kind of look. And it's don't know how to describe it. It's kind of a combination of bear and bovine look. It's just and it's what J.D. Hayworth looks like. I swear to God, every time I see the guy on television, I reach out like protectively to cover Molly's, you know, just where's Molly? Quick, Kathy, where's Molly? And John McCain, this poor bastard, I swear, I mean, I have no love loss for John McCain, none whatsoever. I think he's a war criminal. I really do. Just a complete war criminal. This is a guy who bombed civilians in Vietnam. You talk about somebody who was sick, and then they call him a war hero because the bastard got shot down and kept in a Vietnamese prison for 5 years. That's a war hero. Somebody who would bomb men, women, and children. So, like I say, no love loss for McCain. But given a choice between a war criminal and a child molester, well, I guess that's no choice, is it? Hayworth, J.D. Hayworth, looks exactly like a child molester. That's why he just freaks me out, completely freaks me out. Josh is in Orlando listening on XM. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I know everybody's been talking about Sarah Palin. Well, get this. She was here campaigning for Marco Rubio, who's running for the Senate seat.
Right.
That's being vacated by Mel Martinez this year here in Florida.
Right.
And this goes to show you how little she knows about what's going on and the people she's campaigning for. Here in Florida, she came here and, you know, spewed off her usual lower taxes, small government. But Marco Rubio was the Speaker of the House, and he helped drive up taxes here in Florida. He has helped raise our deficit, and they have done nothing about education here in Florida.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it's awful. And all of the problems that the state of Florida has, you know, it's a great state and all, but all the problems that we have here are because of our Republican-controlled legislature up in Tallahassee. And that just goes to show you how brainless she is, and it drives me crazy that people adore her. And it's crazy. These people have to be mindless drones just to even sit there and listen to her. It makes me want to vomit. But I'll hang up now. I love your show, guy.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Josh. Sarah, I'm not sure what Sarah Palin is doing. I really am not. She's making a lot of money. She's out running the hustle. That's all. It's just, you know, it's a scam. It's a hustle. And, you know, everyone who's ever thought about running a political hustle is just fascinated with Sarah Palin. She is stupid. I mean, literally, without a doubt, a dumb person. Just stupid, ignorant woman, or person. I don't know, when I listen to her, she's got a voice. Can you imagine her sitting down to negotiate with the foreign heads of state? John McCain picked her as his running mate. You know, she was one more cancer diagnosis away from the presidency. Oh my God. So I don't know. Sarah Palin is doing what Sarah Palin does best. She's scamming the public. She's making money. I think she was tired of being trailer trash. She was tired of living the kind of life when she got selected to be McCain's running mate and got to buy all those new clothes and, you know, new pantyhose and garter belts and stuff. She just went crazy.
Yeah. I'd like to know what happened to that wardrobe. Apparently she made good on her threat and took it back to Lowman's or whatnot, because all she has now is like biker chick gear.
I know.
I don't know what that is, but I kept thinking, you know, meow, kitten's got a whip.
Lowman's? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's more Mike Malloy.
Oh, no. Roz writes. Roz in Canada is watching online, and she writes, I thought for a horrible moment that the bucket by your chair was for your bathroom break. Look, you know, I do live in Georgia, USA, but we do have indoor plumbing. Oh, my God. I don't blame her, you know. All right, where are we? We have an open line here, 877-996-2556, if you want to call in. If you don't, I understand. David is in Franklin, Kentucky. Hey, David.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to have you in Ustream.
Hey, yeah.
oh man, the inside of the Mike Malloy Show is as great as the outside, and I appreciate all that you're out there for every time that you come on every night.
Really? Are you serious, or are you just setting me up for something here?
No, I am not. I'm absolutely not. I know how hard it is to do. I kind of try to do it on the weekends. And on Ustream, and it's something that I've always aspired to do, and you and folks like Jeff Barrios and Randy Rhodes and the people that I admire the opinions of and actually listen to for information on a pretty regular basis help keep my life on an even keel in a sea of idiocy.
well, it's kind of, you know, I get in the first place, you know, I'm not very good with compliments because, you know, it's just a radio show. But a lot of times, you know, and no offense, Robert, I hope you David, I hope you understand. A lot of times, you know, somebody will start out with compliments and then right in the middle of the compliments, they'll unload an F-bomb or something on me and say, "You filthy liberal!" You know.
I'm on the FCC in Louisville and I've yet to buy a dump button, so I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I hear you. So you do a weekend show?
I do a weekend show. It's on Ustream there, thedavidlinkshow.com. It's kind
of what is it? What's your website?
Thedavidlinkshow.com. And I'm on The David Link Show, yeah.
David Link, L-I-N-K?
Show, yeah.
Thedavidlinkshow.com.
Right. Thank you. And I appreciate you saying that for me.
I'll check you out. When are you on, Saturday and Sunday?
I'm on Saturday night, every Saturday night at 8 Central Time. And I'm on Podbean. I'm on Podbean with you guys. I subscribe to your podcast.
What kind of a show do you do? Is it all political?
All political. I do veterans issues, healthcare issues. It's liberal slanted. I'm a veteran. I was in the military for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about veterans issues. I've got a good friend of mine that is a United States military paratrooper that got in some trouble with the law, and INA actually deported him.
Mm-hmm.
The debate based on the 96 law. He's living in Rosarito, Mexico now, though he's an honorably discharged veteran in the United States Army and a U.S. national.
And say the web link again so people can the
David Link, L-I-N-K, show.com, and I'm on every weekend, 8 o'clock.
Okay, thedavidlinkshow.com.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's, I'll tune in. I want to see what you do. I'm curious as hell.
Sure.
Man. All right?
Thanks, man.
All right, David, take care, man. Appreciate you checking in. thedavidlinkshow.com. All right, now I told the guy that, you know, we would all go there. So this Saturday, 8 Central, 8 p.m. Central Time. Don't make me out to be a liar. You know, this was touched on tonight, I think, by one of the callers, and I think it's a great idea. Obama seems to be... I'm not trying to be patronizing here or condescending at all, God forbid, but he seems to be catching on to what he has to do as president of the United States with these filthy Republicans and brain-dead conservatives that he has to deal with. The recess appointments, and for the first time since taking office, he installed 15 nominees to his administration, including two members of the National Labor Relations Board. And I love this, reported by Politico.com, in a move that infuriated Republicans. You know, Republicans can just, you know, kiss somebody's grits. I mean, how many times did Bush use recess appointments? I think by this time in his first stolen election career, the first term, come on, Mike, the first term that Bush, after it was stolen from the American people, at this time during his first term, he had made 15 appointments too. And the Republicans are just going crazy. They're just, they're acting like this is the first time it's ever happened, that somehow Obama is committing some great sin in making recess appointments. And these filthy Republicans in the Senate who refuse to release their holds and all this other crap that they have on these nominees, Obama nominees. It's deliberate. I've never seen anything like this. And I think these Republicans are going to be surprised come this election cycle, this November. They're telling everybody that, see, normally in the off year, President of the United States, his party will lose some seats. And the Republicans are trying to make it sound like there's going to be this horrible thing happen, like what happened to Bill Clinton in the 94 election. But it's not going to happen with Obama. It's just not. I don't think the Democrats, I hate to make predictions, but I don't think the Democrats are going to lose any seats at all. I really don't. And if they do, that's because America is further in the toilet than any of us thought, right? Stephen is in Manhattan listening online. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Mike. I have to tell you, I know you're shy of adulation, but I truly appreciate your guts. And I was going to talk about the Wasilla Hillbilly, but then when you piqued my interest on Hayworth, I was watching him the other day, and I think you are totally accurate. I lean a little more toward some kind of guy who you're going to find doing crystal meth with Ted Haggerty. I think that's the look I get from this guy.
He's just so weird. How can anybody look at him? You know, I've seen video of Hayworth going to rallies, for his campaign. And women shaking his hand. How can a woman look at this bohunk? He's B&G, which is, that stands for big and goofy. How can somebody allow a B&G freak like this to put his hands on them? I don't get that, man. I really don't.
I don't. But if I could segue real quick, I know
sure.
We're running out of time here.
No,
but,
go ahead.
Concerning your guts, I have to tell you, I ran into Tim Russert about a year after that famous Oval Office interview with the president.
Uh-huh.
And we were alone in a bar. It was literally just me and him having a couple Heinekens. And I looked at him and I said, and I'm a former journalist, and I said, how could you sit there? And I was very respectful.
Right, right.
And I said, that question when you said, Mr. President, there's some issue with your National Guard records. And he went, well, you see, Tim, I worked out a deal with the government and got out early. And I said, well, that'd be like saying, well, I was sent up for 25 years to life for murder, but I worked out a deal with the warden.
Yeah, really.
Got out early.
Really.
And I said, where was the follow-up question? And he looked at me with the most shit-eaten grin and said, I didn't
want to
burn my bridges.
Wait a second, Stephen. See, here's the hard part. That word you just said, I have to bleep it. And in order to bleep it, that means I have to, at least for over the air. Now, everybody listening online, the web stream heard it. I get what you're saying. But the problem is, when you listen online, it's not like, it's only online, it goes over the air too. So the S word that you said, I had to bleep. And in order to bleep it, I have to cut your call. 7 seconds before he said it, before it goes over the air. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, thanks, Stephen. We'll talk again. It's no big deal, man. It's just that I have to follow these stupid ass rules. I can say stupid ass, but you can't say the S word. Go figure. Anyway, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate what you had to say. I hate that. That's why... never mind. That's right. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate you as a listener. And I'm just sorry that, I have to dump a call when I get a word like that. Isn't that ridiculous? All right, can we go... Can we go back now? Oh, it's time to break. Oh, yeah. Remember, coming up this, is it this Friday? This Friday night, Good Friday, believe it or not, we're going to do, we haven't done for a long time, Youth Night. I don't know if we have any teenagers listening to this program anymore. We used to a lot. But I don't hear, I don't hear the calls anymore from younger kids, which is a shame, but... just kind of the way it is right now, I guess. So anyway, we're going to try it this Friday night. The whole show, as long as we can sustain it, will be just people between the ages of 13 and 17, inclusive. If you're 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17, we'd like to hear from you. We'll chat about issues, all right? Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
As long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car. Through my trials and tribulations and my travels through the nations, with my plastic Jesus I'll go far. Riding down the road.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Well, let that play for a second.
I want to be part of it. New York, New York.
Oh, this would be a good time. Now get 1.9% APR financing on all 2010 Mini Cooper models. For details, visit miniusa.com/info. I love that song. Is that it? Is that all we got? Okay. I like the song. I really do. Chuck is in Knoxville listening on Sirius. Chuck, welcome to the program. Hey, Chuck. Damn, there's something wrong with that line, I guess. Try it again. Chuck, are you there?
Yes.
Oh,
can
hey,
you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine now. My bad.
No problem. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
Doing good. How about you?
All right. We ever decide to go ahead and rewrite history, kind of like the Republicans have been doing?
Yeah.
I'd like to offer the first entry.
All right, go ahead.
Ignorance and the destruction of freedom is no excuse.
That's a good one, boy. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It just infuriates me. We're just eat up with ignorance in this country. Just eat up with it. I mean, it's one thing to be stupid, you know, but ignorance, stupid is terminal, but illness, I mean, ignorance is curable. And I don't know why people are content, and a lot of Democrats are guilty of this too, but all Republicans, why people are content to wallow in their ignorance? I don't get that.
Well, I'd like to offer this as someone who grew up in the South.
Okay.
There is a side of the South that people don't see these days. It's getting to be rarer and rarer, but it's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch what's going on around us, and the problem is it's a complex problem. It has a lot to do with abuse. It has a lot to do with poor educational standards,
right.
letting things go lax.
Right.
It has a lot to do with societal concerns, with raising children and the government getting involved too much and not enough. You know, it's a very complex issue, but they are wallowing in it at this point. They see what's going on. They're not, a lot of them are not correcting themselves. Some are, a small percentage. I found that I get the best results talking to them when I talk to them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to talk to them more than one at a time, you get a gang mentality.
Right, right.
And you can't fight that. But what I was going to say is that I really think the Democrats need to think hard, or leftists need to think hard about whether it's worth, say, $20 out of their pocket every month to support a cause of putting something on the air on TV nationwide,
mm-hmm.
whether it mean going around and trying to get support from billionaires or whatever to start a network or to buy a network and to run it in a responsible manner, not like MSNBC or something like that, more of a PBS kind of format, and start educating the public. Because if we don't start something, I feel that we're headed towards a second civil war. Because these people that I grew up around are looking at a situation where, as far as they're concerned, it is an attack on their way of life, just like it was in the first Civil War.
Well, that, you know,
and a Southerner is never wrong. He may not be right.
Right.
But he's never wrong.
No, I understand what you mean by that. I don't understand. You know, the organizing principle of the first Civil War was slavery. The right of these people, white Southerners, to own black slaves so they could build their wealth. I don't know what the organizing principle is now. I really don't. I heard what you said, and Chuck, thanks. I appreciate your point of view. But, you know, keep in mind, all those arrests today, ATF and Homeland Security and the FBI, none of those arrests occurred in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi. Those arrests occurred, or the people involved were in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. So I don't think that, I don't think that the idea that it's a Southern thing, I wasn't born here, but Jesus, I've been here for 40 years. I don't think this craziness is necessarily at all a Southern thing. I don't think there's any one part of the country that has an exclusive franchise on ignorance. And I realize that historically this has come out of the South, and a lot of the people in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate, these white male Southerners, are just dumber than dog droppings, but and proud of their ignorance. But I agree with you that unless there is an attitude of civility develop, and we may be beyond that, then yeah, it's going to come to some real hell. I don't think it's going to be a civil war. I think it's going to be like what happened over the weekend, or you know, when was it today, when a handful of trained agents take down one of these stupid right-wing Christian militia, so-called, just boom, bitty, boom. Like I said, you know, I've said it a million times. All these guys running on the woods shooting at mulberry bushes. All it takes is one squad of Marines would take out 60 of those little militia groups. I mean, boom, just like that. Yeah, listen, thanks a lot for hanging out tonight. I appreciate it, especially this first night we were doing the video streaming. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.